Yep.
We're up to the Gemara Daf Tes on the base. We're going through some of the Psukim to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bevakasha, he uses Lashon of Bevakasha, please, as it were, please take the money from the Mitzrayim. And why was it necessary to use the Lashon of Bakasha, please? So he said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want Avraham Avinu, as it were, to have a complaint. What would be the complaint? There were two parts to the Bris Bein Absarim. Part one, that there would be a Shibud. Part two, that they would leave with Rechush Godoil. I don't want Avraham Avinu to have a complaint that I kept the first half, but I didn't keep the second half. So the Gemara says on the third line, Omru Loi. So they said to him, V'levai sheneitze ba'atzmeinu. Halavai, we could just leave ourselves and just leave everything there. Moshel la'odom shayachobesh b'beisu asurim. The comparison would be somebody who is imprisoned. V'hayu oimrim la'oi b'nei odom. And people would say to him, Moitzin oischa l'mochar b'beisu asurim. The good news is that tomorrow you're going to be released from jail. Not only that, the noislin chom mom and harban, you're going to get money as well. What does he say? He says, do me a favor. You know what? Let me be released today already and I'll be meichel on the money. So too, Klal Yisrael said, to be perfectly honest, we're happy to forego the money. Just get us out of Mitzrayim as soon as we can. Yeah, I'm just going to try switching for 1 second on a microphone. If it doesn't work, I'll switch straight back. Just give me 2 seconds. Okay, you can hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Vayishalum. Now, Vayishalum is a strange phrase. Vayishalum means, literally translated, and you should borrow the money from Mitzrayim. As we well know, it wasn't borrowed at all. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Ami, Melamed Shehishilum Baal Korchom. This strange word, Vayashilum, comes to teach us that the money was borrowed against their will. Against whose will? Ikeda Omri Baal Korchom de Mitzrayim. Some say it was against the wishes of the Mitzrayim, which is obvious to understand. The Ikeda Omri, that no, Baal Korchom de Yisrael. Some say it was against the wishes of Klal Yisrael. Man da'ama bal korchoch de Mitzrayim. According to the opinion that says it was against the wishes of Mitzrayim, that is because the niksiv and nevas bayis techalek sholol. The fact that this sholol, this booty, this was going to be plundered from Mitzrayim is a very understandable reason why they were against it. But man doma bal korchom di Yisrael, why should Klal Yisrael be against taking the money? The answer is mishum masui, because of the heavy burden. That's why they were so keen to take it. Vayenatzlu es Mitzrayim. Eventually, they did take the money. Vayenatzlu means, and they wiped out Mitzrayim. Omer Avami melamed she'asuha, that they made it. They made Mitzrayim k'metzuda she'ein bo dogon, like a trap with no grain. What does that mean, like a trap with no grain? So look at the top Rashi. Rashi says, "Kemetsuda she'ein bo dogon derech tzayodei oifos." The way of bird hunters is lizroik tach dogon tachas metsudos. When you put out your trap to catch the bird, you put a bit of grain there in order to attract the bird to have a nibble. Kadeshi avo oifos, in order that the bird should come along and have a peck at the grain, vanil chodin, and they get captured in the trap. Ukashain ba dogon, but if there's no grain there, then what happens? Then no birds come. Then ein oif poina eleho. Well, then no birds will come and will remain absolutely empty, totally empty. That's the moshel. Kach riknu hamitzriim mikol mamoinam. Just like if you don't put grain in the trap, very interesting comparison. Just like if you don't put grain in the trap, then no birds will arrive. It'll be totally devoid, empty of birds. So too, that's what Mitzrayim looked like after Klal Yisrael were finished with them. Klal Yisrael took all the money from Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim looked like a trap with no birds in it. In other words, wiped out. Vayenatzlu, the word vayenatzlu, quote unquote, says Rashi katargumoi, the targum of that word is v'roikenoi. V'roikenoi means to empty out, like from the word reik. Reik is empty. So Mitzrayim were absolutely emptied out. That's one way of expressing it. The other way, says the Gemara, Rish Lakish ama asua kumetzula she'en bo dogim. What's a metzula? Metzula, I think, is the depths of the sea. So if you have a look at Rashi on the fourth line, k'metzula she'en bo dogim k'mai metzulais yam, like the depths of the sea, k'loima b'toich ha'tohoim. Tohoim is the depths. Ein metzuyin dogim elo al sfas hayom. You will only find fish at the edge of the sea, meaning at the surface, heichad ikamozin, because that's where there's food to be found. But in the very depths of the sea, there's no fish to be found. It's completely empty, devoid of fish. So too, that's what Mitzrayim looked like. Once Klal Yisrael had taken all their money, they were totally devoid of all money. Again, it's not entirely clear to me why the Gemara sees it necessary to give a moshel. If Klal Yisrael cleaned out Mitzrayim, then I think we all understand that concept. Why do you have to give a moshel of a trap with no birds, a sea with no fish? I'm not entirely sure. Says the Gemara. Ehye asher ehye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be and I will be. A double lashon. What does that mean? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Leich emoir lohem liYisrael. I'm instructing you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go now to Klal Yisrael. And what should you tell them? Tell them, Ani hayisi imochem b'shibud zeh. Just like I was with you in this particular shibud, I did not abandon you. I was here right there with you in Mitzrayim. So too, v'ani eye imochem b'shibud malchis. So too, I'll be with you in future shibud. If any melech, if any kingdom, if any regime enslaves Klal Yisrael, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like I was with you in Mitzrayim, so too I promise I will be with you in all future struggles as well. Which is a bit of a double-edged sword. Why? Because even though it's true, on the one hand, these are very comforting words, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling them that he'll be with them in all future tzaros, but at the same time, he's telling them that there will be future tzaros. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Omar lefanov Rabbeinu Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daya letzara b'shaita, the famous phrase. What does that mean, Daya letzara b'shaita? It's bad enough to have the tzara in the right time. We'll worry about it then. If you're telling me that, tell Klal Yisrael, I've got good news for you. But in all future tzaros, I'll be with you. Oh, you mean there'll be future tzaros? So you know what? Let's grapple with those future tzaros when they arrive. I don't really want to tell them about it now, says Rashi. Daya letzara b'shato, daya letzara. It's sufficient when there's a struggle. She is oinen uba b'sha'a she'tovay aleim. Let them contend with it when it eventually arrives. Lomo tad'ivim achshav. Why would I want to depress them now by Basura Kosha? Why would I want to get them upset now with this difficult piece of news that there's good news and bad news? The bad news is it's going to be Tsaros in the future. The good news is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be with you. Why would you want to tell them about this bad news? Let them contend with it if and when the time comes. So Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, he rephrased it. Leich Omar Elohem, Ehe Yesh Lochani Aleichem. So firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Loshen Ehe twice. Why twice? To say that I've been with you in Mitzrayim, I'll be with you in the future. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, let's not talk about the future. Fine. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ehe Yesh Lochani Aleichem. I will be with you now as I send you to Paro. Finally, says the Gemara, and I'm not sure why this is mentioned over here at all. Maybe Art Scroll will have an explanation, but first let's learn the Gemara. Aneini Hashem Aneini. Who said those words? Eliyahu HaNavi. We all know the famous showdown between the Nevi'ei Habal, Avodah Zarah, and Eliyahu HaNavi. They put their cow on the Mizbeach, they yelled and they screamed to their God to no avail. And then Eliyahu HaNavi put his cow on the Mizbeach and Davin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Aneini Hashem, Aneini, answer me, and indeed he did. A fire descended from heaven, and what did everybody say there? Hashem Hu HaElokim. And that's how we finish, for example, Yom Kippur davening, we say seven times, Hashem Hu HaElokim. The question is, why did he say the double lashon, Aneini Hashem, Aneini? Omar Bavo, Lomar, Omar Eliyahu Aneini, Beis Pamim. Why did he have to say the word Aneini twice? Says the Gemara, Malamed, to teach us. Sha Omar Eliyahu Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu Anovi says in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aneini Sheteired Eish Min HaShemayim. Number one, can you first help me and answer my tefillahs? And indeed, the fire should descend from heaven and consume the korban. That's the first thing. V'toichal kol asher ha-mizbeach. And it should consume everything that is to be found on the mizbeach. V'aneini, but I have a further tefillah, says Eliyahu HaNavi. Answer me also, shetasiach daitom. Kedei shelo yoimru maisa kshofim heim. Let the goyim not mockingly dismiss this as saying it's all maisa kshofim. What's kshofim? Magic. Witchcraft. In other words, it's not enough that a fire descends from heaven and consumes the korban. Because if it enters their mind that maybe this was just all a magic trick, then we haven't really been successful. So not only am I davening that the korban should be consumed, I'm being davening also that you should be masiach das. Let them not have thoughts like this. Shenema, va'ato aseivoso es libom achoiranis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dictate the way their heart thinks. Says Rashi, shetasiach daitom. Milovoi belibo, let it not enter their heart. Mazima shel rasha, any thoughts of wickedness. Lahakhisheni, they might deny everything that has just been performed miraculously. How will they say veloimar? Aliyadei kshafim. They'll say it was through magic, the hevesi, that I managed to bring Elyonovi Ho'esh Hazois. Which itself is a tremendous musa, obviously. But even when Kodesh Baruch Hu performed such an open miracle, there was still a concern that they would dismiss it with a koyach of sheker and leitzonus. Nobody can deny that their carbon was not consumed and Eliyahu HaNavi's carbon was consumed. And surely that proves a point. No, maybe it was all witchcraft. Ad kadei kach that Eliyahu HaNavi needed a separate tefillah. Not only am I requesting that you consume the carbon, I'm also requesting that they should not say it was magic. Now, in the art scroll, do they suggest a reason why this particular passage is brought over here? Is it connected in any way to the previous Gemara?
Yeah, it's a double expression. So this is also a double expression.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Eyeh is double, and also aneni Hashem aneni. Okay. That's it? That's all they explain?
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, we have finished the first sugya. This took us from Daf Base on Medalef till Daf Tes on the Base, which since we began this year, which is about 10 years ago, if not more, this is the fastest we've ever covered till Daf Tes on the Base, for the main reason, because a lot of it was Agadata. We actually began this Perek this Zman, and Zman has been going for about 10 weeks. So it's about 8 daf in 10 weeks. We've never learned that fast, but most of it was Agadata. Okay. So we now begin a new sugya, which is Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Until now, we've been discussing Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Now we discuss Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. By the way, if anybody wants some orientation, our plan, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans. This perek takes us, if I'm not mistaken, till Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which is another 3.5 daf. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to finish those 3.5 daf by the end of Elul. That's the plan. Should be doable. And then winter zman, so Elul will be continuing this first perek. And then winter zman, Habo Aleinu L'Toiva, everyone should be healthy and well. Plan is Be'ez Hashem, we're going to start a new limud completely, probably a new Masechta. If anybody has any suggestions.
Any idea what yet?
I have one or two ideas, but if anybody has any suggestions, I'd be more than happy to hear. I was thinking maybe Sanhedrin, but it could be other Masechtas as well, maybe Bava Kamma. There's plenty to learn. Shas is very big. So if anybody wants to either suggest ideas what we should learn next, and or encourage others perhaps to join the share as well, they will be more than happy.
You think we should learn Sanhedrin? You be the judge.
Okay. It's a possibility. I've never learned Sanhedrin before, I'll be honest with you. That's why I'm quite excited to learn it. But if anybody has a particular preference for a particular perek or masechta, then please be in touch. Okay, we have some time to go still before then. Says the Mishnah. Me'emosai, this is the second Me'emosai of the Masechta. The first one was the first word of the Masechta, Me'emosai Koirin Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, and now Me'emosai Koirin Es Shema B'Shachris. From when? Now you'll remember, obviously, we saw a little bit of this in Shulchan Aruch already. We sort of came through the back door, but this is the Mokoir. Me'emosai Koirin Es Shema B'Shachris. So everything we've discussed until now is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, i.e., when can you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? So we know from the times that the Kohenim can eat truma, which is say sakri chavim, until when? So as we well know, three different opinions, either chatzos, or the end of the first ashmeires, or in the morning, etc., etc. So now the question becomes, what about kriya shema shel shachris? Says the Mishnah, me'emosai kairin es shema b'shachris. From when can you recite kriya shema in the morning? What's the earliest possible time? Says the Mishnah, Misha Yakir. This is the famous Misha Yakir. Misha Yakir ben Tcheles Lelovon. From the time that you could recognize the difference between Tcheles and Lovon. So as we know, Tcheles, Rashi immediately points out on the Mishnah, is yoroik, is a type of green. The koroiv hu letseva karati. And it's close to another color, which is called karati. What's karati? Shekairin puraish. So it's a type of turquoise, greenish blue. Now, if it's totally pitch dark, you'll not be able to discern the difference between Tcheles and Lovon. When it begins to get light at a certain point, you will be able to. That's considered day. That's opinion number one. However, Rabbi Elezo, the no, bein Tcheles lekarati. Not between Tcheles and Lovon, but Tcheles and Karati. Karati is also a certain type of blue. Now, is Rabbi Elezo an earlier time or a later time?
Later.
Obviously, the more similar the two colors, the lighter it has to be. So he said it's not sufficient just to be able to discern between Tcheles and Lovon. You have to be able to discern between Tcheles and Karati. So those are very, very similar colors. So it'll obviously have to be more light. It's a later time. We'll see more of this, exactly what this means in the Gemara. The Goimra, that's from when and until when. Until when can you say Kriya Shema? Ad honeitz hachamo, only until neitz hachamo, according to the first opinion. Reb Yeshua Omer, that no, ad shalosh shois, until 3 hours into the day. On a typically 12-hour day from 6 till 6, that means you can say Kriya Shema until when?
9.
Until 9 o'clock. Why? Shekein derech melochim la'amoid b'shalosh shois, because it's the derech of the melech. A king can afford to lie in, so he can sleep until 3 hours into the day. Now, why is that significant? So, of course, we all know. Just like when we were busy dealing with Kriya Shema shel Arbis, what was the critical word? B'shoch b'cho. Now the critical word is bekumecho, when you get up. So as long as there are kings who are getting up 3 hours into the day, we can still consider until 9 o'clock as bekumecho, not just neitzachamo. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, hakoire mikan ve'elech. If anybody reads Shema from then onwards, meaning after 9 o'clock, Loi hifsid. What does that mean, loi hifsid?
No loss.
So loi hifsid is a very strange term. Loi hifsid literally translates, you haven't lost out. Why? Ka'odom ha'koire b'toiro. Like somebody who reads in the Torah. Now, we mustn't make a mistake. Can you read Kriya Shema all day? The answer is, of course you can. Kriya Shema is at the end of the day, Psukim in the Chumash, and you can say Psukim in the Chumash at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 5 in the afternoon, or at 10 o'clock in the morning. So when the Mishnah says Loi Hifsid, it's a bit confusing. Loi Hifsid doesn't literally mean it makes no difference, you've lost nothing. Of course you've lost something. Because if you don't say Kriya Shema by 9 o'clock, you have missed the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So when it says Lo Hifsid, what does it mean? It means that there's no problem to say it afterwards as well. It's not like tefillah, which is once you've finished the zman, there's no purpose in davening afterwards because it's not the zman of tefillah. Whereas in Kriya Shema, if somebody missed Kriya Shema at 9 o'clock, is there any purpose to say Kriya Shema afterwards? Says Mishnah, yeah, why not? You can always say Torah l'lamalo, why not? Not that you're going to be yotzei that way the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So therefore, this phrase Lo Hifsid is a little bit troubling. Lo Hifsid does not literally mean that you've lost nothing. Of course, you've lost. You've lost everything. You've lost the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. But it means once you've missed the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, then you lose nothing by saying it. Because even though you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah, but besedens, you'll say psukim in the Torah. What's wrong with that? So let's have a look at the Gemara. At least we'll make a start. Says the Gemara, "My bein tcheles lelavam." What does that mean when we spoke about differentiating between tcheles and lavam? Elema, what is it I'm trying to differentiate between? Two threads, two bundles, two clothes. What size am I talking about? What type am I talking about? Elema ben gavava. What's gavava? How do they translate gavava? A bundle?
Bundle, yeah.
If we're talking about a gavava da amra. Amra is wool. Chivra, which is white, as opposed to legavava, to another bundle, the amra, which is also made of wool, but this one is the tchelta.
Yes.
So if you're talking about a very large bundle, then lechaira, even at night, you could see the difference between the two. Imagine I come to you with a bundle of wool, it's night, but you can see what's white. You could see it's devoid of color. Oh, Belailo Nami Meida Yodi? Question mark. To be able to discern between a large bundle of white wool as opposed to a large bundle of tcheles wool, you don't need it to be daytime. Even at night, you can see if I bring you a shirt, a plain white shirt like everybody here is wearing, at 4 o'clock in the morning, even though you might not be able to see the finer detail on it, you can tell it's white. You don't need to have Netzach Hama or whatever, Alois HaShacha, to be able to see that. So what's going on over here? Says the Gemara, Elo. We always like an Elo. You're right, the Gemara is backtracking, you're quite right. It does not mean to be able to discern between a bundle of white wool as opposed to a bundle of tcheles wool. No, it's much more subtle than that. Elo bein tcheles shebo lelovon shebo. Now there is a discussion what this means, but literally translated, it's not between two separate bundles, one of white wool and one of blue wool. Like we said, if I bring you two bundles like that in the middle of the night, I might not be able to tell the exact color, etc., but I can certainly see which one is white. But if you're talking about, says the Gemara, no, can you discern between the tcheles in it as opposed to the lavon in it? So it's not two separate bundles. It's the tcheles and the lavon in the same item. Oh, that needs much more careful examination, says Rashi. Bein tcheles shebo lelavon shebo gizas tzemer. Imagine you have shearings of wool. Shearings Shetziva Tcheles, whose color is Tcheles. However, so you've got wool that you've taken off a sheep and you've now dyed it, you've colored it Tcheles. However, V'yesh bo mekoymois, but it has in it areas Shaloi Olo Shom Hatseva Yofer, that the color did not really get absorbed properly. So you've got wool, which you took off a sheep, and what color is it? Obviously, plain white. You then dipped it into dye, into tseva, into tcheles colored tseva, and for whatever reason, the tseva didn't quite manage to reach every area of this bundle. So it's predominantly tseva, tcheles, but it has some streaks of white. Now, if I bring you that bundle of wool in the middle of the night, that's a much harder proposition. Are you able to discern between the areas of tcheles within this bundle as opposed to the white within this bundle? Oh, that's a harder thing. If I'm talking about two separate bundles, so it doesn't exactly require much light to be able to see which one is dark, which one is light. But when it's all mixed up into one bundle, and it's predominantly tcheles, but it just happens to be that some areas are not colored so well, that will need a certain element of light. And that's what it means, Misha Yakir. When are you able to discern between tcheles and lavon? Doesn't mean between two separate items, one which is tcheles and one which is lavon. Rather, it's one bundle, partially or predominantly tcheles, a small number of threads are lavon. Are you able to pick out those white threads? Well, clearly in the dead of night, you will not be able to. But when it begins to get rid of light, then you'll be able to. Now, if you have a look briefly, we don't have time to see the whole thing, but have a look at the top Tosfos. We won't see the first half of Tosfos, but Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. So if you look at the top Tosfos, you'll see towards the end of that Tosfos, he says, Al-Kain Yesh Lefarish. The first word on the line is Lefarish. Tosfos says, I would explain that what does it mean, Tcheles and Lavon in it? What does in it mean? In a bundle of wool? No. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos says, I disagree. But rather, Bein Tcheles Shebo, the tcheles in it, what does in it mean? Betzitzis. Shahoya kavua boy tcheles. Because there are some of the threads which are dyed tcheles. V'gam shnei chutei lavon. And also two strings of lavon. V'oisim boy chulia shel tcheles v'chulia shel lavon. So now, if I bring you a pair of tzitzis, some of the threads are tcheles and some of the threads are lavon, that's not like a whole two separate bundles. Rather, it will also require, because we're talking about thin threads, it'll also require a certain degree of light to be able to discern between the tcheles in the tzitzis as opposed to the lavon within the tzitzis. We have a machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos.
Did they have tcheles when they wrote this, or was, I don't know, when the Masorah was lost?
Yes, the Masorah was lost. It's all dated. I actually gave a shir about it a few weeks ago. And I've given a number of parasha shir about it. I'm happy to send it to you if you want. But it's all the dates there. But yes, at the times of at least part of the Gemara, yes, they did have it. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a good day. We're going to finish over here.
Okay. Call to.